It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the MMA show. I'm glad to have you back today. We are going to be talking to moms today, especially moms who have really struggled in life. The whole point of it is to bring hope. Whatever you're going through right now, at the end of the day, we want to bring hope on the show, and that's what we're all about. Would you do me a favor, and would you pause this episode right now and screenshot it to your Instagram feed and tag me, Amber May, and then I want to share you sharing me. That way we get more people on board and they can see it and get that hope that they need in their life. And also, if you don't mind stepping over to iTunes and leave a little written review, that would be super fantastic. I appreciate it. Well, today I'm talking to a lady. I love her name. Love, love, love her name. She's one of the ladies that you could just become instant friends with her. And that's kind of where I was. The second I talked to her, I was like, we're going to be BFFs. Her name is Queen Mohammed. And once you hear this episode, you're going to think the same thing too, that she's going to be your bestie right next to you. So as we talk to her about her story, and I'm excited to dive into her life, she's an inspirational, she wants to be a motivational speaker and to reach the heart of people, especially women who struggle in life, and to see the end result and give hope today. So Queen, thanks for joining us on the show. I'm so glad to know you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Amber. I appreciate it.
I know there's a story behind Miss Queen, and I would love for you to share your testimony, your struggles with our audience.
Absolutely. This story, my trials, my tribulations, my misfortunes, my losses, all started the motivation to write a book. And the title is The Pain Behind the Smile. And this was really an opportunity for me to be transparent, because what I've learned is that God doesn't try you with what you hate. He tries you with what you love. And he knew that I loved my privacy. I liked to keep to myself, even though I was very social. So once I experienced some of the pains and traumas when I moved to Arizona back in 2009, but with your permission, I would like to take it back maybe to just childhood briefly, being 13 and starting to do hair and becoming a eighth grade cosmetologist, if you will. I ended up getting licensed at the age of 16. But I had a very abusive mom and an absent father. And I would like to preface that this is not a put down because of the abuse that I experienced from my mother. This is not me being bitter or angry or talking bad about her. This is just an example of the exercise equipment at the health club. It is what has conditioned me and made me fit to be able to endure the things that I have endured really my entire life. I didn't understand why. I was always a little upset with God, and I would look around at the lives of others and how life seemed to be so blissful for them. But I had to take care of myself at the age of 13. I experienced, you know, moments where men have tried to molest me. I've had an adult man try to rape me at the age of 14. And all of these things will be put in a book, but just to give you a little bit about me. Fast forwarding to Arizona in 2009, when I got here, I had been homeless for 4 years. I have 3 children and I raised a goddaughter. So that left me with 4 children and just myself as a single mom here in Arizona. I didn't know anyone, and I think that the little girl in me was still looking for her father. And I had reconnected with my father, who left when I was 3, in Chicago, and he said he lived in Arizona. And at one time, I had to get real with myself as to why I came to Arizona. And sometimes you just have to tell the ugly, gut-wrenching truth about things. And at 40 years old, the little girl in me was still looking for her father. And when I got here, if I get emotional, please allow me to just talk through the tears. When I got here, I didn't have much money. I literally had $150 to my name. I had lost my house. My truck was repossessed. I lived in a one-room two-bedroom apartment with a client of mine that said I could stay there until I moved to Arizona. So after I bought the used beds, I was left with $27. So within 6 months, I built a clientele of 125 clients.
What did you do at this point? What was your profession?
My profession was, I was a hairstylist. That's all I knew.
Okay.
I did hair from 13 to age 50, and I was in high school, and I got licensed when I was 16. So I really came to Arizona, and I feel like it was an opportunity for me to take the corner market. There weren't many black hairstylists out here.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to do that. I didn't have anything. I had to buy a used car in 30 days. I had to turn a bedroom into a salon, and I was on the grind. I had a smock on and business cards in each pocket. And I went out here to make it happen. And I had to go back and forth to Chicago every other Saturday to take care of myself here. So I had to go back there and make money and bring it here. I had to meet people that I could trust with my children while I was gone. So I didn't do any sleeping. I was back and forth. And then I went to the public aid office and I went to get assistance. And by definition, you can't assist me in not doing anything. You can assist me in doing something for myself because my goal was not to be a welfare queen. However, there was a lady that saw my grind and saw my hustle. And I always taught my children, always ask God to protect you from the envier when they envy. And the lady watched me and took my cards to the DES office and had me under investigation for welfare fraud. She took their birth certificate from the school and got temporary guardianship of my children. And in the state of Arizona, you can get temporary guardianship of any minor child and do not have to notify the parent as long as you have the birth certificate. So these things began to unravel right before me. I was making lots of money, $4,000 every 20, 21 days. Me and the children were doing good, and I was building up something from nothing. And you always have to be aware of who's watching the opposition, if you will. And I heard someone say, who's a very profound minister, he said, the greater the champion, the greater the challenger. So you are as great as your opponent. So for me to be a champion, I had to summon up the will and the strength of my own being to overcome. Because what I'm sharing with you happened all at once. And listen carefully. I had state board come into my salon. I had state board investigators. I had customers trying to sue me. I had the sheriffs at my door with child support orders. I had a lady that had me under investigation for welfare fraud. My children left. They ended up living with her. They said that I abused them. So all of these things didn't happen one after the other. It all happened at once. I was suicidal. I didn't want to live, and it was my daughter at 10 years old that saved my life. This is a condensed version to a very long story. However, my desire and my motivation is to really show women, regardless of your race, your ethnicity, your background, your religion, I really don't care. All of us as women really have to make God sufficient, and the word sufficient just means enough. We have to make him enough and really make him my everything. I had to do that. I had nowhere else to turn. I had no friends out here. I had no family. My father even turned on me. My father even called and told me he wished I was homeless again. He called and told me he wished my car broke down. And I'm not bitter with anyone. This is what I want to really be clear. If anybody hears this podcast and knows Queen, this is really not about me trying to beat up on my father, beat up on my mother. Because at the end of the day, if any of you or us or we pick up the phone and we call God and say, guess what happened? He is not going to say, what? For real? I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me. All of these things happen. He allowed it to happen. But it was something that I needed to learn for me. And what I learned from all of the pain, all of the losses, and before I continue that point, keep in mind that everything that I just shared with you, I endured the trial and tribulation for 10 years.
10 years, wow.
10 years with no break. So everything that I built, I lost.
Now, were your kids away from you for that 10 years, or did you get them back sooner than
I haven't seen them in 11 years.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen them in 11 years. Yes, ma'am. And it was very, very, very painful. But I had to learn how to not only make God sufficient, but it wasn't until I got to the other side that I understood why.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to prevent the abuse that I experienced in my childhood and the fact that there's no real solid relationship with my parents. So sometimes you learn in the reverse. You want to do things differently.
Right.
So my goal was to do it differently. But I have been taught throughout my life that everything has a balance. Fire can be good for you. You can cook with it, or it can burn your house down.
Mm-hmm.
Water can be good for you. You can drink it and swim in it, or you can drown in it. So I didn't have a balance where my love for my children was. I believed that my balance had turned to worship. And God had just shown me, you're not going to love anything and anyone more than you love me, because it destroyed me. Internally, it destroyed my self-worth. I felt like nothing. I felt broken. And I was maybe 2 seconds away from just losing it. And with that said, I really learned why I wanted to be private, because a part of me worried about what people thought.
Mm-hmm.
So once my business was all over Arizona, I had to learn that it doesn't matter what people think about you. So he tried me with that. But look at me now. I'm on a podcast sharing publicly my life story in as much as I possibly can in this moment. It allowed me to become more transparent, because it doesn't matter what people think about you. When God is enough, you don't need people to validate you. But that took a long time to get there. That did not happen overnight. So I just want to be clear about that. But I've learned something. And if I could leave anything to any woman that could take something from this, one thing that I have been blessed to know is that always pray and ask God not to miss it. Because what you pray for, the answer may not come the way you want it to come or look how you want it to look. So he can use whoever he wants to use to make a way for you, save you, bless you, just like he did when I met Amber. It was an instant connection, and I thank God for her. But I do want to be clear about us as women and our value. If you're out there suffering, if you're out there in pain, you need to know that there's someone else out there that can relate. You're not alone. But it can be a lonely feeling. And, you know, sometimes when people want to talk to you and give you a scripture, you're not always in the mood. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep it real.
That's true.
So if you want to give me a scripture and I'm not feeling it, I don't want to hear it that day.
That's right.
Depending on where I am mentally, spiritually, that day I might want to be mad. I might want to cuss. I might want to do a whole lot of things. So meet me where I am and let me have that moment without judging me. Let me go through the process of what it takes to get to the other side. And that's what my hope is as I go through life, to continue to share this story. I'm not mad at my sons. I'm not upset with my sons. But one thing that I would like to say to whoever's listening, there are two worlds, the world of the way it should be and the world of the way it is.
That's right.
You can live in how it should be and procrastinate growth and development because it should be this way. Or you can live in what it is and keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's what I had to do. I should not have had an abusive mother, but I did. My father should not have abandoned me when I was 3, but he did. That lady should not have done what she did to my children, but she did. But it all happened with God's permission, and he is a master scientist. Whatever he wants to bring up out of you that's sitting in you, this plus this is going to equal that. So our lives are for him. Our prayer, our sacrifice, our life, and our death is for God. So I want to begin even if I don't make it every day, because nobody's perfect but him. However, I would like to strive daily to live my life according to him with integrity and to reflect him and the things that I do by my hands or my words or my actions. I really want it to reflect him. And if you don't make it every day, you get up and do it again. But trying is for people who expect to fail. You strive. That means you got to put forth some effort. So if you're smoking 10 cigarettes a day, you want to quit smoking, and it's 8 cigarettes tomorrow, that's striving. But you can't smoke 10 cigarettes every day and say, I'm trying. Ooh, I'm trying. And how many cigarettes you smoking tomorrow? 10. Still smoking 10, but just strive a little at a time. And I heard a minister say once, he said, the least little thing that you do that's pleasing to God, ask him for anything that you want. Because sometimes other people might not see that little thing that's difficult for you to do, but there's a God that does. So my story, my pain, single motherhood, no help, no child support, no support system, helped me to understand that family is not bloodline. So all of the people in Arizona that have taking money out of their pocket and put food on the table when I've sat there with nothing after all of these losses, I'm so grateful, but it didn't come the way I expected it to come, because what it should have been was my mother loving me. But reality is that was something different. It just got to this point in my life at 50 years old that I'm really grateful for my mother and all of the pain that has been caused, because it made me who I am. This is my journey. And wherever you are listening, embrace your journey. Embrace your walk. Throw your shoulders back. Hold your head up. I heard a minister say, walk heavy on the earth. Go through with dignity. You don't have to have your head down. I might not have six figures in the bank, but I got a rich spirit. But the six figures are coming if you believe that. But sometimes we seek addition instead of submission. So that's my goal, and that's what Queen has to say about her life at this point. However, I will be continuing the speaking about my life from childhood to adulthood. I will be putting it in a book, all of the information, all of the ups and downs. But I hope that you can gather from this, if nothing else, make God sufficient. So whoever's listening, if you get to 7, 6 plus 1, so be it. Whoever's listening and you get to 7, 5 plus 2, so be it. Somebody else might get there 4 plus 3. Somebody else might get there 7 plus 0. We all get to 7. So you don't get to tell anybody, well, I take the freeway. You should not be riding a bike. You should drive the freeway, because riding a bike is not right. But the scripture says, I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Excuse me. So it's spiritual maturity when you don't try to impose your way of doing something. Mm-hmm. Everybody's an individual, and God doesn't order any of us. He just suggests. He just suggests you can do it your way, or you could do it his way. The thing is, we always find our way back to him when our way is not working. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. I read a book. I forgot the young lady's name. Stormy, I believe, wrote a book called The Power of a Praying Woman. And I can't take any credit for this, but she was talking about you walking your children and them learning how to walk and you holding their hand. And when they think they got it, they let your hand go. And they take off like, I don't need you anymore. And then they fall and they look around behind them and they see the hand is still there. The hand never left. You left the hand. So God is still there. He doesn't leave. He doesn't leave us. We leave him. So it's my hope and prayer that all that I've gone through, I could continue to share the struggle, the behind on the bills, the losses. Could you imagine building something from nothing and losing it all? Mm-mm. They took everything from me. I mean, when the lady took my flyers to the caseworker, and as though I was doing something wrong, trying to make a way for me and my children, you know, and my children ended up saying to the state that they lived with her, so they took everything. They took everything from me, you know. Everything. I lost it all of my salons, all of the money, and I'm still in recovery as we speak. But I heard this same minister say, down is not out. Down is preparation for up. So there's nowhere else to go when you're down. But I will say this, 10% is what goes on. 90% is how you handle it. It's your attitude with your trials that determine your altitude. We got one life to live, a moment in time. And the moment we were born, it was our express ticket to the grave. Make it count every day. Make it count every day. And me personally, I don't pray for a lot of money, but I do pray for favor, because that's the greatest reward.
That's right.
You know?
In scripture, over and over again, that was the prayer of so many. The prayer for favor, that's my prayer, that I have the favor of God with me. Because just like Queen, and those of you that have been on my podcast for quite some time, you can go back to previous shows. Like Queen, I've experienced a lot of loss and heartache. And there are times I didn't want to hear anyone saying anything about scripture. And this is me working at a radio station filled with nothing but ministers. And I'm like, ugh. Like, I could see now God's hand and all the pain I've been through. And when I thought he left me and abandoned me, and a God that could do anything, why would he let this loss continue to happen over and over again? Wasn't once enough? Apparently, you know, God had a plan too that I needed to learn, and my plan was to help give hope to other people. And the thing is, we live in a fallen world, and what should be isn't always what's the case. And I love that she said that, because in a perfect world, my body should have been healthy to have children and not lose children. But that wasn't the case for me. And God knew deep down that I was going to be able to handle what was given to me. Not that he enjoyed seeing the loss of me crying, because if you're a parent, there's not one time in your day that you're going to enjoy when your kids come home with a heartache. And we can learn the heart of God better as parents, because we found this love that we never found before. This love that it's hard to put into words. Loving a spouse is a different love than loving your children. There's almost nothing your children can do that will stop you from loving them. It might be hard love. You might have to really put the law down and say, I can't fellowship with you right now. But that doesn't mean you don't love them. We all have to have safeguards in our life. And if what our kids are doing are causing harm or it's not safe for us, then we need to take a step back and say, I love you, but you cannot be in fellowship with me until this happens. So God does not look at any of our hardships and say, oh, I'm so happy they're in pain.
Right.
He never says that. And I love that Queen said that he's always there, just like that toddler. And she was giving the story about the toddler and how he's always there. And it's us that leave him. He never leaves us. And sometimes in the cloud, when you're going through all the trials and tribulations, you cannot see him. And I know that for experience. Mm-hmm. And I know why people turn away from God. I felt that way. I hated him so much from all the pain I went through. I understand now why some people say that they're atheists. Truly, 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 I really don't believe deep, 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 deep down. They don't believe that God exists. I think deep, deep down, they know there's a God that exists. But the pain is so strong, and it's hard for us to fathom a good God allowing bad things to happen. But that's what happened when the fall of man happened. Bad things are going to happen to us. Bad things happen to Jesus Christ himself. If Jesus Christ experienced people lying about him, put him to trial, beat him to unrecognizable human being, like they could not even recognize that was Jesus when he was beaten, put on a cross, then you can't tell me if Jesus had to go through that, you can't tell me that we're going to avoid that pain. Because even Jesus himself went through that. So God also has experienced the way the world is in a fallen world, the unperfect world. That's why he hates sin. He sees what sin does to people. He sees how Queen was hurt by her mom. That mom was gifted with a beautiful little girl. And the treasure that God gave her, she misused that treasure. And, you know, God is the only perfect parent that we have. And I love when she said, God is sufficient. Because even the Bible talks about God being sufficient for you, for me. And when you have nothing else but God, you have everything when you have God. We're going to have to pause the show right here, and we're going to pick it up next week. But I have The Power of the Praying Woman. The link is in the show notes, so make sure you check the show notes. Click on that link, and we will get that to you. Just remember, when you're going through the hard stuff, it's so easy to want to, like, grab a substance, to grab alcohol, to smoke a cigarette, whatever that is, because when the pain is so deep, it's the easiest way to numb the pain. But let me throw this out there. I would encourage you, and I'm going to put a link to the video in the show notes, so click on that link. I would encourage you just to think about using something healthier like essential oils, because when I went through some of the dark periods of my life, I used essential oils to help me get through losing my fourth baby the same weekend as my sister's wedding, and I had to be up there at the front and be there and put a smile on my face and not let her know that my world is crumbling. And so what I use is I use essential oils to get me through, because essential oils can work with our emotions as well as our immune system. So click on that video. It's going to tell you a little bit more about my story and how you can incorporate that in your life when you too are going through a difficult time. Remember, next week we're going to have part two and conclude the show with Queen. So make sure you check that out. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.